Well, good afternoon, everybody. I'm Deb Sofield. You're listening to my weekly radio show called Encouragement for Your Life. Yes, you know I'm a national speaker, trainer, and coach, and I help people find their voice and learn to use it. I'm also a conference speaker. So in this new year, if your organization is having a conference anywhere in America, I hope you'll reach out at debsofield.com. You can find a lot of information about me on my website. I think you know by now, I've got a number of books on the market. My latest book, Perfecting Your Platform, is now going to be available on Audible, along with my book, Speak Without Fear. You can buy all of this on Amazon.com. I've got a great show today, and it's a tough one, but it's one that needs to be heard here in the new year. And my theme is this: the most dangerous place. See, I've come to believe that the most dangerous place for so many in the world today is what I'm going to call an intersection, because it's at that place, within a second of time, you have to make a decision. Will you make the right one? Stay tuned. Let's talk about it. I'm Deb Sofield. Thanks for spending this next half hour with me. So I've entitled this, The Most Dangerous Place. Our friend, I've come to believe that the most dangerous place in the road is the intersection. And I think that is because at that place, within seconds of time, someone has to make a decision. Oh, isn't that just like life? You come to the intersection and then you have to choose which way to go. How fast or slow, out of the corner of your eye, you've got to watch and be aware of those around you. Now, I have to admit, I prefer an intersection to a roundabout. In other countries, where they don't drive in between the lines, a roundabout can force you to go round and around and around until you're sick or you figure out how to forcibly push your car to the outer edge without wrecking into the other cars to get off the highway. In the South, I've noticed that we tend to be a little more gentle when it comes to intersections, well, at least most of us. Most of us will drive up to the line and whoever gets there first gets to go, and then gives a wave, and then the second one gets to go, and then so on. Maybe it's because most of us don't have to be anywhere fast. Or maybe it's because we're just a bit more polite. But even then, when you arrive at the line, you have to push through so you can get to where you're going. Otherwise, you'll just sit there until every other car goes, and you'll be last. Have to admit, I don't have patience to go last. So I'm quite well known to kind of nose my way out in front, and if someone else hesitates, then I'm going to go. It's not that I have to be anywhere by a certain time. I just have to admit, I really hate to wait for people to make a decision. So if they don't go quickly, I'll make the decision and go. Recently, I was speaking at a conference, and after the talk, a very nice lady came up to thank me. And in the course of conversation, it was apparent that she needed to make some decisions in her life. She'd been forced, in a sense, to the intersection of life and had hesitated. Not because she didn't know what to do in her head, but because she was afraid of what she knew she should do in her heart. That's a tough place to be. When your head knows you need to make a clean break to the right or the left or straight ahead, but your heart is still holding on, waiting. For what? Even she couldn't put that into words. From her story, it appeared to me that in this case, she was not the first to the intersection, meaning she didn't cause the trouble. But when it came her turn to go at the intersection of life, it seemed easier and safer to simply sit there and wave all the other nice cars through without making a move herself. I reminded her not to wait for the perfect moment, but to take the moment, the difficult situation, and make it perfect enough for her future. Otherwise, I felt she would be sitting doing nothing but watching life go by in her pain instead of moving forward into the new life she had been given. The reality is that waiting was getting her nowhere, and in her position, being in the intersection of the situation appeared to me to be the most dangerous place she could be. Because the reality of life is not everyone's going to stop and be polite and let her go at her leisure. No, someone would give a wave and go. And in her slowness, brought about by fear and their impatience, They would barrel through. Worse yet, seeing that she sat through so many other cars, some will assume that she's going nowhere fast and speed through a four-way stop. And that is how life-changing accidents happen. So I want to say to her that in an odd sense, the physical danger she was putting herself in was greater than any danger she felt on an emotional level. Because by being in the intersection, the most dangerous place in the road, if she's not careful, I was worried she could be killed. Now, not to be an alarmist, but friends, not paying enough attention in life that moves at race car speed could be life-threatening. If you just sit in the way of oncoming traffic, you are nothing but an accident waiting to happen. Now, I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings, but hear me when I say, it is rare that anyone's going to slow down for you. That's just not how people are nowadays. So she, like some of you, had to make some hard decisions. I let her know that it was my hope and prayer that she had enough friends and family and her faith to hold her up when the speed of life runs full force at her. Unfortunately for her, and for some who are listening today, it's not always the case that somebody will be there. So now what do you do? Well, let me give you three ideas I think will help her and you get enough strength to get back on your feet. Probably the first and most important is you need to stop and assess where you are. The next point is figure out where you need to go for safety. And the third and probably most important, friend, you got to start moving. Seems easy, right? Well, it is when you pull your heart out of it and you use your head. I'm not saying you can't keep a part of your heart nearby, but for now, you just have to set it aside. Just remember that happiness can be found even in the darkest of times. If one only remembers to turn on the light, we'll get to the light eventually, if you'll follow the path. So let's figure out how to turn on the light. Number one, assess where you are. Is this current situation going to bring closure in your life? Now, I didn't say happiness, because I'm not sure that that day will come right away. What I do know is that you need to figure out what will bring closure, where you are with what you have and what you need so you can move forward. Remember, friends don't look back. You're not going that way. You've got to look forward through the front windshield. I know it's hard, but there's going to come a time when you have to choose between turning the page and closing the book. Assessment is never easy, but it is necessary if you're going to restart, rebuild, or readjust your current situation. So, tell me where you are. My friend was able to say that she was safely in her home with a good job. I said, well, what do you have? That was really my next question. She said, well, you know, Deb, I've saved enough money to be secure for a good while. And she also had some trusted friends. And then I had to ask the hard question. What do you need to move on? After she thought about it, her answer was simply this. She said, Deb, I need time. Time to heal. Time to rest. Time to regroup and get a hold of my life again. Okay, fair enough. Then take the time to heal, rest, and regroup. See, as a woman and a coach, I tell you, I think about safety for all my clients, my friends, and my family. The world's a very different place nowadays, so safety is very important to me to communicate to those I care about. And safety's not just a location. You know, for some, safety is a state of mind, meaning that you need to find the open space in your very full brain to be able to think. I love the quote from Joseph Campbell. Find a place inside where there's joy, and the joy will burn out the pain. All right, number two, you need to figure out where you need to go for safety. When you think about where you need to go for a safe place emotionally, mentally, maybe physically, and for some, a mental pause of peace and rest, I strongly believe that you need to shut out the noise of the traffic around you and look inside to find your strength. See, when you're strong and somewhat settled, you'll feel safe. When you are in turmoil or in a place that's not your own and you can't make a small corner in your space safe for you, It does take much longer to heal your heart, your mind, your soul, and the body. So, quick shout out to those who are helping a friend in hard times. Please know, they need to keep some mementos around them to help claim their space and to feel a sense of safety. You know, we do that for our elderly family members. We add photos, a comforting blanket, or maybe books or their Bible to make a new place feel safe and warm. With children's, many times fire and police officers keep a teddy bear handy in case of an accident, so a child will have something to cling to so they can, in a sense, shut out the noise, the lights, the loudness of the current situation. I think it's important that you find out where you need to go for safety, mentally, physically, most likely emotionally. Probably the most important thing I'm going to say today is, friends, you've got to start moving. Starting today, you need to forget what's gone. I know that's hard, but I want you to appreciate what still remains, and I want you to look forward to what's coming next. I saw a poster a while back that said, "You fall, you rise, you make mistakes, you live, you learn. You're human, not perfect. You've been hurt, but you're alive." Think about what a precious privilege it is to be alive, to breathe, to think, to enjoy, to chase the things you love. I admit sometimes there is sadness in the journey, but there is also a lot of beauty. And if you keep putting one foot in front of the other, even when you hurt, you never know what's waiting for you just around the bend. Our friends, start moving and don't look back. If you know the life story of J.K. Rowling, it's pretty phenomenal how she went from sheer poverty to amazing wealth. But she said this, "Rock bottom was the solid foundation on which I built my life." Today, some of you feel at rock bottom. It's a new year of loneliness, of same old. So I'm asking that if you will trust me on this, if you will find a way where you can assess where you are, figure out where you need to go for safety, and start moving, I think things will be better. You don't have to have it all figured out, but I believe if you'll start, your life will change. I'm Deb Sofield. You're listening to Encouragement for Your Life. Stay tuned. I'll be right back after the break. Hi, I'm Deb Sofield. I'm a national speaker and an executive speech coach based here in Greenville, South Carolina. Hey, friend, if you or someone you know is interviewing for a job or college or law school or medical, dental, veterinary school, call me. You need to be prepared for the interview. Together, we'll craft the answers to the questions that will be asked, even the hard ones, and I'll teach you how to connect with the interviewer, work on your positive body language, and give you the powerful words and answers that the interview requires. You know, for most interviews, there's a standard set of questions that you must know the answer to, and depending on what you're interviewing for, that conversation changes. You need an interview coach, and I can help. I have years of experience successfully coaching for all types of interviews, helping my clients succeed. I'd love to be on your team. Oh, friend, I'd love to be your coach. Find me online at DebSofield.com. DebSofield.com. Welcome back, everybody. So I came across a really interesting article on an unusual website called Lightly Roasted Thoughts, and it was how to evaluate and assess your current life. And so as I'm talking about my theme today of moving forward, I think sometimes we have to stop, figure out where we are so we can create the path that we need. So let me share some of this article that I have edited. The first line is, assess where you are in life and connect with your dreams. Oh, they go on to say, what a year it's been. I can't be the only one leaving it more confused than when I entered it. But amidst all the chaos that 2022 left behind, I have to admit that I've had my fair share of time to reflect. I've had time to self-evaluate, dig deep into my true wants and needs in life. And it's been great to reconnect and get to know myself. So I thought I'd share my process so some who are listening today can assess your current life as well. This is the author of this article. I think we all need to pause at the end of the year before we run into the future. We need a chance to reflect on what we truly want in life and sometimes learn from the year that has passed. We need to know that we're running in the right direction, even if that means we're making a turn. We must be on a path towards happiness and fulfillment, towards the life we dream of. So the author says, here are three reasons why you should assess your current life. And they say, I think you should assess your life at the end of the year. I mean, you wouldn't go shopping without a grocery list. You want to know that what you're buying is the right stuff, because pasta wouldn't be great without pasta. And you wouldn't want to bring your old grocery list. That's just confusing. And you'd want to avoid going past the candy on your way to the checkout, because you know what happens when you're hungry. So the author says, get in line with your dreams and values. It's hard to find your way without a roadmap, and by reconnecting with yourself, your wants, your needs in life, you can build yourself a compass. Because to feel fulfilled and happy, you need to know what would make you fulfilled and happy. It's usually not very clear-cut. In fact, it's often hard to pinpoint, and it constantly changes as we evolve and learn. And more often than not, it disguises itself to make us to believe that we want things that might be destructive. And that's exactly why you need to frequently reconnect and assess your current life. And you need to create your map so you don't get lost in this thing that we call life, so you understand your core values and what you truly believe. The author says, start with a blank slate. There's no better way to naturally draw a border than what the new year gives us one chapter to start with, since we ended and now we're beginning. Every year we get a chance for a fresh start and opportunity to reinvent and reevaluate. Of course, if it's the 25th of September and you're finally getting to this and you crave a new start, that's okay. Just start there. Because today's the best day for you to start. By assessing the time that has passed and learning from what has been, we can empty our mind and focus. We walk into the future lighter, brighter, wiser, because we are now open to new experiences and teachings. She goes on to say, you should learn from your experience. I guess this one goes hand in hand. By learning from what has been, we can avoid the mistakes, the heartbreaks, and the worries that we had last year. You now have new tools to handle struggles and knowledge on how to move mountains that you probably never dreamed of years ago. And you should evaluate your life and get in touch with yourself. And here's what I mean. If you can't find your direction, you must stop and figure it out. It takes a bit of time and your willingness to be vulnerable, because most of the time, once you're honest with yourself, things will fall into place. The problem is, we find it very difficult to be that honest and give ourselves praise. And more often than not, it's hard for us to acknowledge that we've made mistakes so we can learn from those mistakes and become a better version of ourselves. Now's a good time to change, to reevaluate, and how we continue towards our life dream. So there are things you can do. You need to pick a time and place. I mean, these are just some options. Don't let the thing that you do only happen when you feel motivated. Make a commitment. Book an appointment. Let yourself know that you are a priority. Cut out a block of time, at least an hour. You don't want to compete with the clock. You might just need to rest, relax, read, or do that project that you have been dreaming, promising, begging yourself to get done. She said you got to eliminate distractions, meaning turn off the phone, disconnect from the internet, turn on some music, whatever it takes for you to focus and get things done. And listen, you need to give yourself something to think about as you're moving forward. And she goes through, here's some questions that she has that can help you assess where you are. I think these are a good reminder of what to do here in the new year. And let's start with the first one. The author says, if I had to sum up this last year in one sentence, what would that be? Now, I got to tell you, as I've talked to folks who've been dealing with family members who had COVID or loss or maybe a job change or a health issue, that is a tough sentence to write. But if you had to sum up your life this last year in a sentence, what would it be? And then the next question is, what experience would you like to repeat next year? And then what would you like not to ever repeat? So I can tell you for my own self, the experience of being able to create new work and new opportunity is something I find great joy in. And what I don't want to repeat is sitting in airports when planes don't take off. However, I have no control of that. The next one is, what were the top three lessons learned? So when you stop and you put yourself in a quiet space and you say to yourself, what did I learn last year? What would you come up with for an answer? What did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about your family, your job? What did you learn about your hopes, your dreams for your future? What did you learn last year? I love the next one. Who makes you feel happy and confident? Who in your life makes you feel happy and confident? And then the other side of that coin is, who does not? So you know Deb Sofield's rule. If somebody is not encouraging you, helping you find your path forward, working with you hand in hand to let you be your very best, walk away, my friends. See, if they didn't help you last year, they're probably not going to help you this year. Now, what's interesting, you know a few people who made you feel confident and happy, who encouraged you. Now, what's funny, they may not be in your normal circle of friends, but they could be if you would open your circle a little wider. The next one is, what worries you about the future? Now, that's always tough for those who have faith. We know who holds our future. But I'm sure a lot of people do worry about what's going to happen. I look around the world today, I am worried about what's happening in the Middle East and Asia, and then actually what's happening here in America. So I do have what I'm going to say, some worries, but I'm not going to let that weigh me down, because worrying about today takes today's joy for tomorrow. But what concerns you about your future? I think just the idea of thinking about it and then either coming to a conclusion of you either believe God is in control or you do not. I hope you do. I don't know that I want you to worry. I don't mind that you think about it, but don't let it weigh you down. I love the next point. What have you done to be kind to yourself last year? What did you do that was kind for yourself last year? So when I think about how I like to rest and relax, I am an ocean person. Take me to the beach. I am the happiest person ever. I like to look for shark's teeth. I like to just walk on the beach. I like to sit with my friends. I love to go eat seafood. I love the water. I love the ocean. So to be kind to myself, I literally booked myself out to go to the beach and hang with some friends. Not easy to do, because if I don't work, I don't get paid. But you know what? I needed that time. I love that t-shirt that said, I need some vitamin C. Not the letter C, but the ocean, S-E-A-C. Yeah, I love that one. Okay, what have you done to be kind to yourself this last year? And then what are you going to do this upcoming year? We're here at the beginning. You can make good decisions. And then I love this next one. In an ideal world, how would you describe your life at the end of this upcoming year in one sentence? So looking forward, remember, we're not looking behind, looking forward, what would you like to see happen this year? See, when you learn to evaluate and assess where you are, I believe doors of opportunity open. The problem is we don't take time to do this. We always start with New Year's resolutions that last until maybe February 1st, if you're lucky. But we're in January. Let's just look forward to December of this upcoming year, 2023. What does this year look like? What will you commit to? What will you evaluate for your future? I think it's very important that we stop and we think. This was an interesting article I found again online. I did edit it, how to evaluate the year and assess your current life. Our friend, your life has great meaning. You have meaning. You have opportunities to become the light in the life of others. You can set a direction for others to follow. The only thing that stops you is you. There's nobody in your path. Oh, you can think there are, but they're not. You know it and I know it. Don't be afraid. If there's ever a year to step out, because the world is changing quickly around us, our friend, assess where you are. Figure out where you need to go and do whatever it takes to start moving in the direction of your dreams. And for some, because last year was hard, go ahead. As hard as it is, set your heart aside just for now. And use your head and set your direction so your heart and mind can follow for this new year. I want to say thank you for joining me last year, this year, as we continue with encouragement for your life. I look forward to being with you every Saturday, 12 noon, right here, to help you just maybe think through some new ideas to give you what you need to live the life that God has planned for you. Our friend, you are one in a million. You know, I say it all the time, 8 billion people in the world, there's no one like you. Now, for some of you, that's a good thing. But for others, there's no one like you. So why don't you live to your best? Why don't you be who you were born to be? The world is waiting for you. And I will be here every Saturday to cheer you on. All right, friends, Deb Sofield, have a great weekend. Please join me next Saturday, same time, same place. Have a good one, everybody.